Right, well, we're on session five of Destiny. Just to recap, I'd like to just recap a little bit at the start, just so that anyone who's not picked it up before can get it, but also it just gives a scene setting. Every one of us in this room has an inheritance that Jesus died to provide for us. He's already, in a sense, his will has been written and read, and that will says everyone here has got a portion of an inheritance that comes from him. And that carries our identity, our redemptive gift, and our destiny. So it's who I am, my identity, and that's a question a lot of people ask. How am I made? How am I wired and put together to operate my redemptive gift? And what am I made for? My destiny or my birthright, the very thing that God actually has designed for me to outwork and fulfill. And without that, we can be totally lost and just doing our own thing, trying to find our way through life without actually seeing who it is that God has made us to be. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before we existed physically, spiritually, God knew us. And you can look at that in different ways. You can look at that in terms of outside of time, because God is in eternity, but also God created the spiritual and physical realms of heaven and earth, so we're also can be seen in that realm as well. So before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart for a purpose, and I've appointed you. So each one of us need to know, what has God appointed us to? What has he appointed us to do in our lives? Psalm 100 and, oops, let's go back a bit. Psalm 139, 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book, or scroll, in the original, were all written the days that were ordained for me. So there is a scroll somewhere that has in it everything that God has ordained for us to do, be, in every way. Now, as I said before, that's not fate, because we get a choice whether we are involved in that or not. If we choose to be involved in what God has prepared for us, then we will find total 100% fulfillment and satisfaction, and it will just be completely who we were supposed to be. But if we don't, then we end up struggling. And then it goes on to say, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? And it's really an important thing to hear and to listen to the thoughts of God about us. And he's got loads and loads of thoughts about us, and they're all good, because he's always smiling. There's an image that people present of God as being an angry God waiting to pounce with a big stick when we get it wrong. And that is not the God that I personally know or that's described in the Bible. The God of the Bible is waiting with open arms, waiting to welcome us and embrace us, even when we do get it wrong. Because he desires relationship. And he desires to impart to us all those things about us that he knows and thinks. And in that relationship, it's the key to understand that. But there is a battle for your destiny. There's an opposition to it. And we have to be recognizing that and willing to take on the fight. If you're going to be passive, then you're going to struggle to identify what God has for you. There may be problems to solve. There may be messes to clean up. Anyone got any messes to clean up? The raw materials may need to be shaped somewhat. But don't let the obstacles and the opposition, all the past mistakes, stop you fulfilling what God has destined you to fulfill. See them as stepping stones, as opportunities. See, if we take the negative things and see those things as things that will stop us, then we're looking at the problem. But when we look at God's way of turning those things around and bringing something good at it, we can see the solution. And the solution is there to enable us to come into everything that God's got. See, God does a lot of positioning of things. He creates and arranges circumstances in our lives to enable us to be able to outwork who we're called to be. And some of those are not easy circumstances. Some of those are trials and things for us to overcome. Some of them are people and situations. Some of them are things on our pathway that will be the things and the key events and moments that will be able to enable us to come into what God has for us. See, God can explode the walls of the box that your life seems to be in, if you let him. Or you can be contained and structured and hindered by everything everyone else has said about you, all the things that have happened to you that will put you in that box situation that you think, I can't get out of it. But actually, even if authority, position, power, the law is against you, God is bigger than all that. As we saw last week, there are situations that when people came to God, he changed their situation. Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. He can change any situation. He can use any negative thing and turn it to good. Because even the negative things we've come through in our lives can become things that we can help other people through in their lives. If we embrace them as opportunities rather than problems. But God is looking for desire. He's looking for the desire to pursue our destiny. He's looking for willing hearts. And if we haven't got a willing heart, then he's not got an awful lot to work with. That's why he wants us to surrender to him and be willing for him to do what he needs to do in our lives. So what is your destiny? How do you know what it is? We're going to look at some physical, deducible evidence. And there's things like that. What you can see or deduce by examining your lives. Because there's some clues there. Relational evidence, what God says to you. And some heavenly supernatural evidence, which is actually your scroll that you can go and see and feel and engage with. Most people just don't know what their destiny is. There's a small percent of people who know from their childhood. And God sometimes calls people from childhood and they have childhood encounters and childhood experiences which almost enlighten them or open them up to a relationship with God. And you can read and hear some of the testimonies of people who've been called by God. Some of them were called in childhood. But most people, it's actually between the ages of 30 and 50 that they find their destiny. Now, some people call that a midlife crisis. But actually, it's a situation where people have the time and the space to actually see what's this all about. Because you can spend your first 30 years chasing after everything. And a lot of people do chase after everything, trying to find out what it's all about. And then they get to a point where, and some people, it's in their 30s. I remember when Deb had her 30th birthday, she really didn't like it. But when she got to her 40th birthday, actually she had a great time. So it's different times with different people where things come and they're faced up with, what's this all about? For me, I don't really care about birthdays, so it really matter to me one way or another. But God wants us to find out what it is. So even if you're older than 50, it makes no difference if you're willing to pursue. Because Jesus spent 18 years in apprenticeship for a 3.5-year ministry, which changed the world. So people can do something in a short period of time that can change and transform the world. So don't think, oh, I haven't got an awful lot of time left. Caleb was 80-odd years old when he went and killed the giants and took his possession of his inheritance, as was Joshua. So age is not an issue. It's about a heart thing. But when we do have time to reflect and when we're ready to listen, God will speak. So I'd encourage you, become more reflective. Give yourself the time to actually listen and tune into what God's saying. Rather than rushing around trying to do everything in life, actually let's find the right things to do and then things will be better. So to ask the question, who am I? Why am I here? Ask God. Now let's look at some of the evidence from our lives. Look at the things that God has done in our design that have no cultural or nurture basis that are unique to us. In other words, you can look at your life and think, oh, I got that from my mum, my dad, or I got that from my grandfather, or I got that in a natural sense. I learned that because I was nurtured that way, and we can be brought up in an environment that can try and shape us. But actually, there are certain things that have nothing to do with that, and those are the clues that you need to find. The things that are there because God put them there. Desires and clues in our hearts. And some of the things you can do is examine your reaction to things, both positive and negative, the things that stir you to action, the things that actually light you up, the things that switch on those lights for you. Because that's a strong indication that God has placed those things in you. Look for clues of God's design, not brokenness. Sometimes we can actually do things because of our brokenness, and we might be driven by that in our lives. In other words, I know there's an example of that. You grow up and in a situation with, say, one of your parents, they treat you in a wrong way. And when you grow up, you can be driven to not treat people in that way yourself. And so you can be driven by what's happened to you in your past, but you're looking more for what is the things that God's placed there. Now, for me, I had an inquisitive desire to understand how things worked. My mum certainly didn't have that, nor was there any evidence that my father did or grandparents, but I did. And as a kid, I always wanted to take things apart and find out how they worked. I always wanted to know how, and I would always be asking how, why does this work? Now, when I got into a bit later on, I was drawn to the Bible. Now, my mum certainly wasn't, or my dad, nor anyone I knew. So there was something that God placed in me with a desire to find out what the Bible said, to study it. And I did study it for a long time. Then, actually, I learned to meditate in it, and then eventually I learned to encounter it as a process. And that was something God placed in me. See, I was emotionally stirred by things when I was growing up. Race issues. They always got me. I never saw a black person until I was about 12 years of age. That seems really weird now in this culture, but actually that's the truth. In our school, it wasn't until I was in year 7 that there was a black person in our school. So I had no connection with anything about personal things with race issues, but whenever I heard about apartheid or the deep South racial issues and the Ku Klux Klan type stuff, it got me in my guts. And there were certain films that I saw that used to absolutely emotionally wind me up because I was drawn to that sense of injustice. God placed that in me. Even at school, I was drawn to the disadvantaged. Whenever there was a new person came, a new boy, because I was in a boys' school, and no other than a boys' in mixed school, I always befriended the new boy. Now, I didn't think about that. It was just something that was always there, a desire for those who were disadvantaged. Now, those desires cannot be explained by nurture. So they were there, placed in me at a deeper level. And there are other things put in me that light me up. Sci-fi and fantasy things. It's like, you could not look at any of my family and say that came from any of them. But actually in me, I was always drawn to the unexplained and the out of the box and the broadening my perspective of what was possible, because that was something God placed in me. See, God's investments in us are like those Lego pieces or jigsaw pieces of our destiny. We need to put them together to see the bigger picture. And if we're willing to look, then we'll be able to see. See, there are pathways that we can get on to help us discover what our destiny is. Now, the question is, do we have a desire to pursue it? Are we willing to ask? Are we willing to look? Are we willing to see? What is it that God has called me to do? I had an interest in the history and the future. Now, again, there was no family history with that at all. It was just I had desire to look at the past and to look at the future. And I used to think about as a kid what it would be like in 50 years' time. I used to think about it and I used to write things down about what it would be like. Now, again, those are things that God put there. Now, there was also a desire for revivals. Now, when I got in later, in my teenage years, there was a desire to understand the things that God did. And I've been drawn to moves of the Spirit. And so in the past 20, 30 years, you know, I've been drawn to where the Spirit was moving in stuff. And I was fascinated with it. And so I've been drawn to things like moves of God and things, and I've experienced that. Now, another thing that I was drawn to is mountains. Now, you don't get too many mountains in Cornwall. So it's not one of those things that I thought about, oh, great, I'm going to climb up, what's the highest thing? Bramwellian and Router, or I think are the two mountains in Cornwall, which are more like little hills, actually. But I've never thought about that. But I was fascinated with mountains and climbing. I loved climbing things. Now, that wasn't anything nurtured in me, because I can't remember any of my family ever even talking about mountains, but it was something God placed in there. Now, when I started to have supernatural encounters and visions, they were about mountains. And they still are about mountains. So God puts in us desires which later on we find out why they're there. See, the prophetic stuff that God started to reveal when I started to encounter him was foundational to why we're here. In terms of starting the church here, came as a result of a prophetic word. So I've been drawn to the prophetic, the things that God would say, and that's something that God placed in me. Now, you can also look at the negative attacks and the things that the devil's done in opposition to our destiny. Because the enemy wants to block those things that God wants to establish. So where we look at the blockages and the issues where we've had problems to overcome, those are often an indication where the enemy's tried to block what God wants to do. So we can look at those things. For me, it was communication. I feared public speaking. I absolutely feared it as a kid. And it came from when I was about 3 years old in the Sunday school anniversary. And I was placed in this Sunday, and I had my little bit to say, you know, my little sort of rhyming bit. I can't remember what it was, but I had this little bit to say, and I was sat up there with all the mums and dads and all the people looking for you to do your little bit and sing your little song, whatever it was. And I needed to go to the toilet desperately. And so I shouted out to my mum, I need to go to the toilet, which embarrassed her highly. And so she came up and hoiked me out of the thing. You know, I never went back into the Sunday school anniversary ever. And in me, it set up a total fear of saying things in public. So as a kid, reading out loud was the worst thing you can imagine. And I would do everything I possibly could to get out of doing it. Like going up and going to the toilet when it was my turn. Or avoiding it every possible way I could. Because it was a fear. Now, the enemy took advantage of a situation to hinder and block what God had called me to do. And it wasn't until I was about 16, 17, when people kept asking me to speak for no apparent reason, because I'd never, ever done it, ever. And I gave into that and eventually accepted what God was trying to do, that I was able to do it and overcome the issues. So God had something in mind that the enemy tried to stop. And the same thing could be seen in health. I had lots and lots of sicknesses and issues in my life physically because God wanted me to be involved in healing and bringing health to people. Now, each one of them I learnt to overcome in different ways. Some people, I got physically healed supernaturally. People lay hands on me. But eventually, I needed to pursue healing and health for myself. And it took me 3 years of pursuit to come into an understanding and an actual spiritual reality of what health is. So the enemy tried to hinder all the way. Now, in what I'm doing today in terms of mentoring people and helping people, basically I had no fathering, I had no mentor, no identity from that. Therefore, I had lots of experiences of betrayal where people close to me let me down, which took me into a place of loneliness, and I struggled with community and relationships. And I looked at all those things, and actually those are the things that God wants me to do and be involved in. But the enemy tried to spoil it. So we need to be open to see some of those things. Look at the character issues, look at the things that God focuses on, the works he wants to do in our lives, the things that he keeps getting us to go around those mountains and deal with, the things he won't let go, and they keep coming back, and he gives us opportunity after opportunity of changing. Those are some of the things which will be clues to our destiny. So what and where are the challenges that we face in our life? Let's see where they are and see what God shows us through that. Be careful not to be limited by our past, because that past can be a clue to our future. Don't let the obstacles, any cultural constraints, gender, race, social standing issues stop you. Because if we see in the Bible, God takes no respecter of persons. He has a destiny for each of us. And there might be lots of obstacles and things that will try and stop us, but actually if we pursue it, we can overcome them all. Surround yourself with the right connections and associations. If you want to fulfill your destiny, hang out with people who are talking about fulfilling destiny, who will encourage you and support you and challenge you and encourage you. Don't hang out with the miserable crowd who will bring a black cloud over your life and will be saying, oh, you can't do that, don't bother with that, misery, misery, misery. Hang out with people who are optimistic, who are encouraging, who will support you. And they may well challenge you and sometimes give you a kick up the backside because you need it. Be willing to obey even if it's unusual. If God asks you to do something, don't be frightened of it. Be willing to obey. You know, it was quite unusual for God to turn up and tell someone like Abraham to leave everything behind and go to a place that he didn't know where he was going. It was quite unusual when a fire turned up in a bush and God spoke to Moses. It's like lots of times God will ask us to do something which will take us out of our comfort zone, and that will be the first step in pursuing the destiny that we've got. Don't be afraid of obedience. Be active and not passive. If you're sitting there waiting for your destiny to come to you, it never will. God wants us to pursue it. Be wise in what you pursue and what you're using your time to do. That's why it's easier for people to get hold of their destiny later in life, because they've got more time and less time, if you like, to go. And are you going to waste the rest of your life like you've wasted the previous bit? And some of those questions cause us to pursue. Be good stewards. God has given this to you, and you will be judged on the basis of what you've done with it. Parable of the talents. So if you go bury it in the ground, don't be surprised when you face God one day if it's not a pleasant experience. I want to face God and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant. No matter what it is that we've been called to do, we're only responsible for doing that. Nothing else. We don't have to do any of the other things that anyone else might want us to do. Just need to do what God wants us to do. And there will be an eternity that comes with that in terms of outworking what God wants. Now, the simplest way to know your destiny is to hang out with the one who gave it to you. That sounds really obvious, doesn't it? But most people don't do it. Spend time developing an intimate relationship with God who has all those thoughts about you and has written all that stuff on your scroll. Spend time with him. Learn to listen to him and speak with him daily, because he will help you take the steps you need to fulfilling what he's called you to do, one by one. Einstein said this, I want to know how God created this world. I'm not interested in this or that phenomenon, in the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know his thoughts, the rest are details. Now, probably Einstein was recognized as one of the greatest scientific minds ever, but actually, he saw that actually the thoughts of God are what are key. And for all of us, the thoughts of God are key for our lives. Do you want to know God's thoughts about you? If you do, then spend time asking him. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." See, if we're his sheep, we can hear his voice, and he will know us according to our destiny. And then we can follow him into it, because he's leading the way. All we're responsible to do is to follow him, and he will lead us on the right path to fulfill everything he's called us to do. But problem is, we tend to go to the left, we tend to go to the right, we tend to mess it around. All we have to do is follow him. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Have you ever asked for the revelation of what your destiny is? If you haven't, then you're not likely to know. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Our destiny is not about us. It's about fulfilling God's purpose for the whole universe. And we have a part to play in that. Hear his voice and ask him to show you what it is. Draw near to him, get closer to him, go deeper with him. We sing a song about that. We have a great opportunity of getting close enough to God that he will reveal to us everything we need to know. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." So if you need help, go to the place where the best help comes from, the source of grace and mercy, which is God, to his throne of grace. Hebrews 10:22. "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith." God always responds to faith. Now, faith is believing without seeing. Faith is the evidence of things that we've not yet seen. So if you've not yet seen your destiny, believe that you have one and draw near to God, and he'll release it to you. Be intimate and open, real and vulnerable with God. If you're struggling with who you are, tell God that. Be open about what you're feeling about your life. If you feel, "Well, I've just wasted my life," tell God that, and he will respond. Be real with him. James 4:8. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So if you want more from God, go and draw near. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." God promises to come to live in us. Now, you can't get much closer than that. So we have to actually look into that relationship and into the place where that relationship is within our spirit and then in our heart, and actually develop that place where we meet with God and we encounter him and we experience him within our own hearts, within our own spirit, because that's the place where we're going to find everything fulfilled and released. So get to know him, know his thoughts, and know his heart by hanging out. John 16:13. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So if you want to know what the truth is of your destiny, then hang out with the Holy Spirit. Engage with him. Start building a relationship with him. He will disclose to you what is to come. So if you want to know where your life is going, then spend time with the Holy Spirit, because he's there to help us in that process. Because his whole purpose is to glorify God by taking what is God's and giving it to us. Verse 14, "He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." He doesn't want to hide stuff from us. He's hiding it for us to discover. And he wants us to pursue it to show that we're interested. 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Just as is written, things which eye has not seen, and ears have not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man." Now that's pretty sad. You can't see, you can't hear, and it's not in your heart. If it ended there, we'd all be in a big problem. But it doesn't end there. See, all that God has prepared for those who love him, we can be connected to it, we can engage it. Why? For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. He's revealed everything he's prepared for us in the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 2. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So your spirit contains all those thoughts. Your thoughts, but also God's thoughts. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. God wants us to know freely those things that he's given to us. And it comes from the Spirit of God who is in us. Question is, are we willing to engage? Are we willing to seek? Are we willing to ask? You know, Jesus said, knock and keep knocking. Seek and keep seeking. Ask and keep asking. Don't give up. Keep pursuing, because if we keep pursuing, then we will find. Ephesians 1, 18 to 20. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, the eyes of our heart is our imagination, the place where God speaks to us in our head. It's the same place, actually, where our vision gets translated and our hearing gets translated in our head. And we can also see in our head those things that will be revealed by God. See, revealing something is just taking the veil off it. It's lifting the cover off it so we can see it. And the purpose of that is so that we will know what is the hope of his calling. So if the eyes of our heart are enlightened, we can know what the hope of his calling is, which is our destiny. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Our inheritance. You know, we are his inheritance, which is brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand in the heavenly places. So God has caused resurrection life to be available to us, to enable us to fulfill what he's called us to do. So physical evidence, relational evidence, what about the supernatural evidence? See, God is spirit and God is light. That's how he's described. God is releasing a sound, a vibrational frequency, which is calling us to our destiny. People are hearing it all over the world. We need to tune into that sound. It comes as our spirit comes into connection with it, so that we can resonate with it, come into harmony with it, alignment with it, with our heavenly destiny. Because this has come out of a spiritual realm, and we are spirit. And we need to get our spirit aligned with the spiritual realm. Engage with that creative light realm. Because we live in created light here. In the realm of heaven, there is creative light, which is faster and operates differently. But we can engage with it. See, we have access to those spiritual realms that can reveal who we are and what our destiny is. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So those spiritual blessings are in heaven, in the realms and dimensions that are actually around us. See, we think of it as being up there somewhere. Actually, it's in a spiritual dimension that we can access by stepping into it as easy as it is as taking a step forward. We just do it in the realm of the Spirit. Let's read that again. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We have been chosen to be able to engage in those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I know we all know that verse, but actually we need to do that verse and operate in that so that we can operate in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:18 and 19, through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So we have access to the Father in heaven. Our destiny is both earthly and heavenly together, to rule in heaven on earth at the same time. Because our spirit can be connected with heaven and our physical body be here on earth. And so we can be connected and bring in heaven to earth as a gate of heaven through our lives. Each of us has a heavenly position of rulership. We need to find it and discover it. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them. That's describing our destiny. Good works. Things that God has prepared, good things for us to do, that we can walk in them. If this was not possible, then this verse wouldn't exist. Because God has made us and created us to be able to do those things and work them out and walk them out. We're created for that purpose. It is our destiny. So where is my destiny revealed? Psalm 139 says it's revealed on a scroll. Well, I believe that scroll is a double helix scroll. That gives you a clue of where your destiny may well be. Encoded in our DNA. 97% of our DNA has coded sequences of language that are there to direct our lives. So we need to engage in that and find it. When we get born again, we get a third strand of DNA restored to us. It's a light strand. And in that light strand, like a fiber optic helix, if you like, of information, it enables us to access that DNA sequence. That's why when we break bread, I encourage on those sheets there to speak words of realignment with our DNA and the sequence encoded there for our destiny. That's what it's about, coming back into the order that God has prepared. See, it says in Ecclesiastes that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. So when you get born again and you get that light strand of DNA that comes within your physical DNA, actually it is not easily broken because it makes a connection to destiny. Also, we can go into the record room in heaven and we can see two scrolls. One is the scroll of our destiny and the other is the scroll of our life. And when you compare the two, you'll see where they line up. I've actually done that spiritually and actually seen my scroll and saw where my life didn't fulfill it and all the things I'd missed. So you can engage there and actually spiritually see it. Now, my encouragement would be desire your destiny. Fight for it. Be prepared to be transformed for it. Because none of us are in a state that will fulfill our destinies. We're in a process of transformation into the image of Jesus where our destinies can be outworked and fulfilled. Now, this is a good prayer to pray if you want to know what your destiny is. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, we see that often as a negative thing, but actually see it as a positive thing as well. It's not just the negative things that are in our heart. Actually, what are the things that God has placed within our heart? Ask God to search you and to reveal them to you. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. What do you think the everlasting way is? The way that from everlasting to everlasting is your destiny. The way or path you're supposed to follow. We can ask him to lead us on that way. God will reveal our destiny if we draw close to him. Where and how do we draw close to him? Psalm 42:7. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. There is a sound that's deep in God that our spirit can connect to that will begin to bring us into alignment with God. There's a whole teaching on that, a whole revelation on that in terms of frequency. You know, our bodies carry frequencies. The different parts of our bodies have frequencies that we have to come into alignment with. And there's lots of things that God's revealing about that in these days. Engage in the sound of worship. When we worship him, there is a sound being released out of heaven. And it's calling and wooing everyone back into alignment with God. Hear the sound. You might not be able to hear it with your natural ears, but your spirit can connect with it. That sound is around us. Psalm 47:8. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So God has placed it there. Engage with God in our heart. If it's in our heart, engage with God there. Now, we have a whole teaching around the garden of the heart, but also the other areas of the heart, the dance floor of our heart, where we engage with the DNA of God, the soaking room of our heart, where the fragrances and the oils and the frequencies are applied to bring in our bodies and spirit and soul back into wholeness and harmony. We have teachings around that. Give God access to your heart. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. There is the invitation to engage with God in your own heart and to be able to access heaven and be seated in authority and power. And the next verse confirms that. We can access into his heavenly presence, Revelation 4:1. After these things, I looked up. After what things? Opening the heart and inviting God in. So after we invite God into our heart, he opens a door to invite us into heaven. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. That is invitation, which is still open to every single one of us today. And here's the verses that confirm that. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Where is the holy place? In the tabernacle. Where's the tabernacle? In heaven. There is no earthly tabernacle other than our life, which is the tabernacle of God, because he comes to live in us. But there is a heavenly tabernacle. So we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So we can draw near and come into the very place of God's presence because Jesus has opened up that veil for us to enter into heaven and into his presence to have revelation. What's there? The Ark of the Covenant is there. The heavenly one. And on it, there's the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat that always gives us access to come. And in the ark, there were three things. Manna, tablets of stone, and Aaron's rod. Manna represents the will of God for our lives. The tablets of stone represents God now writing his law on our hearts. And Aaron's rod, symbol of authority. So we can access into those places. And I want to encourage you to do it now. Okay, so I want to close your eyes and we're going to go on a journey with the eyes of our heart open. So this is what we need to do. Close your eyes physically and I'm just going to pray for the eyes of your heart, your imagination to be open right now. Father, just pray you open up the eyes of our heart as your word in Ephesians says so that we can be enlightened, we can have revelation of your truth. Open up the eyes of our heart. Now I want you to think of a door. Just begin to think of a door, the door that you know. And as you think about that door, begin to picture the door. Now picture that door in your spirit with the handle open for you to open it up and reach out and open that door. Behind that door, Jesus is knocking. Open up the door into your spirit and into your heart and feel his presence. Feel his love. Feel his acceptance of you as a son, as a daughter. Feel the affirmation that his presence brings you. Now start to hear the sound of many waters, the waterfall sound. Start to feel the vibration of his presence. As you've drawn near to him, he embraces you and draws you close to his heart. And in that embrace, he begins to affirm your identity. He affirms your calling. He affirms your destiny. Just listen to his voice speaking to your heart. Just feel your heart engage. Feel the desires of your heart released. Now there's a door standing open now, because you've opened it, that you can walk through. I want you to step through that door and step into the dimension of heaven, and Jesus is waiting there to take you by the hand and lead you through the veils to stand before the ark. As you stand in his presence, his name is manifested. It's where the Yod and the He and the Vav and the He. The Yod and the He and the Vav and the He. The Yod, He, Vav, He. The Lion, the Ox, the Eagle, and the Man. The Lion, the Ox, and the Eagle, and the Man. And God manifests his presence between the cherubim's wings. Open up your heart to him. Let him unfurl your scroll. Let him write and reveal that scroll contents onto your heart. Let him cause those learned yearnings and longings and desires begin to be released within you. You can take the manna as it reveals more of God's will for you. You can pick up the rod and feel the authority and the confidence and the boldness to fulfill your destiny. And you can step back into this realm. Now for some of you that might be easy because you've practiced it before. For some of you, you might find that quite difficult because you've not practiced it before. I'd encourage you to practice stepping in and stepping out. Opening the door on a daily basis and feeling the presence of God. Stepping through the door on a daily basis and engaging in the realms of heaven. Those dimensions are open to us, but you have to practice. It says in Hebrews 5:14 that we train our senses, that's the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our spirit, to discern and through practice to be able to engage. And in daily engaging there, expect your heart to be changed. Expect your destiny to be revealed and the longings that God has for you to be released. If you're really serious about pursuing your destiny, then you have to find an intimacy with God and you have to engage in the heavens. You can't do it any other way. God desires us to have this in relationship that leads to our responsibility of rulership in the heavens. Amen?